Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, you know, Gary Parrish is a college basketball analyst for CBS Sports Network and CBSSports.com. You can catch him on Inside College Basketball, the draft specials throughout the week on CBS Sports Network. Gary, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Everything's good in my world. You guys okay?
Oh, fantastic. I'm loving watching my pick because it's my pick being shopped around the league because Boston has it and Philly has it. Everybody has it except the one team that deserves it, and that's the Nets. With all that said, I'm going to put my anger aside. When you look at Markel, because to me, I look at Philadelphia being aggressive, and I like it. You know, they've said trust the process for way too long. Let it finally conclude with a winning team. Do you believe that Markel Fultz is the kind of talent where it's worth giving up not only number three, but the potential of another top five pick next year?
Yes. If I'm Philadelphia, I make this move. I'm less sure I make it if I'm Boston for different reasons. But if Philadelphia, they got all these young and interesting pieces. The one thing they don't have is a young point guard with an incredible upside, with unbelievable potential. And Markel Fultz will provide that. So I think this is brilliant from Philadelphia's perspective. You know, particularly when you look at 2018 draft, 2019 draft, there isn't that unbelievable point guard prospect, at least on the surface, that's going to be available. Fultz is about as good as it gets. This is a good move for them.
Now, are the Lakers going to take Lonzo Ball, or is he going to fall?
You know what? I still think he ends up in L.A., but it seems pretty clear at this point they're not 100% sold on him. That's why they continue to bring in other prospects like Josh Jackson, like De'Aaron Fox. And so the scary thing, if you're Lonzo or LaVar Ball, is that they have tried to set this thing up where we don't want to go number one, no matter who's picking there, Philadelphia, Boston, doesn't matter to us. We're not talking to them. We're not meeting with them. We're not working out for them. We don't want to go first because then we're available at two and the Lakers take us at two. But if the Lakers, for whatever reason, go a different direction, Fox, Jackson, Tatum, whatever, then you're asking Boston to pick you, even though they haven't met you, haven't been around you, haven't seen you work out. Then you're asking Phoenix to pick you under the same set of circumstances. There gets to a point where somebody, and it might be four, five, or six, where somebody takes Lonzo Ball blindly, even though they didn't meet him or have dinner with him or anything.
Right.
But asking the franchise to do that is less than ideal. So if you're Lonzo, you better hope the Lakers take you, because if not, with 5 minutes on the clock, you're asking some franchises that don't even know you to take a leap of faith.
If they passed on him, which I think most of us are rooting for just because it'll be funny just to see.
Well, we don't want to see him get what he wants.
Yeah. Would the Boston Celtics think about doing it again and trading back, especially if Josh Jackson is the guy taking? Because it just feels like that's the guy they're eyeing. That's the versatile defender they're looking at instead of taking Markel Fultz. So if Lonzo falls, let's say the Lakers take Josh Jackson, that's their guy, and now Ball is sitting there and Tatum is sitting there and Fox is sitting there, do you think the Celtics then move back again?
I think they try. Like, you might pick up the phone, call Sacramento and say, hey, give us your fifth pick and tenth pick, and we'll give you the third, and you can come up and get Lonzo Ball if you love it. I don't know if I'm Sacramento. If I do that, I'd probably like to take 5 and 10 and make it be De'Aaron Fox, and who cares? You know, who could be any number of people at 10, as opposed to just getting Lonzo Ball at 3, but certainly it's worth a phone call.
All right, let me ask you this question, because I'm a Knicks fan. Lucky me. What are the possibilities? Okay, it's a two-part question I'm going to ask you here, Gary, okay? What is the possibility of Ball falling all the way to the Knicks at 8? And then with that said, let's say that doesn't happen. It probably won't. But let's say he does. But if it doesn't happen, who are they taking at 8?
Yeah, I don't see Lonzo slipping that far. It gets to a point, whether it's Sacramento at 5 or wherever, where somebody just says, hold up. You know, 2 weeks ago, people thought this guy was the second best prospect in the draft. If we can get him at 5, 6, 7, we're going to get him at 5, 6, or 7. So I don't think he slips to 8. But I do think one of the point guards slips to 8. And the guy I've got projected there is Dennis Smith from North Carolina State. You know, he didn't play for Kentucky, didn't play for UCLA. He, like Fultz, played for a bad college basketball team. But all of the athleticism, you know, big-time score at that position, decent size for the position, it's there. In a different draft, he would be a top-five pick. He's just probably the the third or fourth best point guard prospect in this particular draft. But if you can get him at eight, if I'm New York and I get him at eight, I feel pretty good about that.
I'm going to go for it. Frank Ntilikina. Okay. Was that close? Not bad?
That is pretty close, yeah.
Thank you. All right, well, listen, I've been practicing because I'm practicing because I think it's going to happen because I think he's going to be a Knick. What have you – and I know it's tough because we're talking about a kid that's playing overseas. I've read a little bit about him, about his mom, who I think survived, like escaped Rwanda, moved her family to France. So he's got a very interesting story. But he's got great size, wingspan, can probably defend. What are your thoughts and what you've heard about Ntilikina and what he can translate and how long it would take him to develop into the NBA player maybe the Knicks project him to be?
Obviously, when it comes to an international player, I've seen the other guys more often, like most Americans. You know, I've seen Markelle Fultz since he was 16 years old, Lonzo Ball, same deal, Dennis Smith, same deal, De'Aaron Fox, same deal. Frank, I've seen less, but I've watched all the stuff that's available in terms of film, and you know, there's a reason why he's a consensus lottery pick. He's got good size for the position. He can make a shot from the perimeter. Good athlete. You know, he's just sort of the unknown. But you know, that New York franchise has done this before. Drafted Porzingis when there were other better known college players on the table, and people booted in real time. And you look back on it, and it looks like the proper pick. So that's a franchise that hasn't been shy about doing that in recent years. And if you ended up with him, I don't think that's a bad draft. We'll wait and see who's available. He could go even higher than eight, but in terms of point guard prospects, he's very much in the mix with those other guys. I think we could see on Thursday night five point guards go in the top 10. That's not crazy, and he'd be one of them.
Don't forget they took Frederick Weiss at one time too. Don't forget that. Don't forget that disaster. Okay, let's not. You know. That's a while ago, but nevertheless.
Was that the guy who was on the receiving end of the
VC?
Carter?
Yes,
yeah.
Vince Carter jumping over him in the Olympics. And I hear that he's actually now selling shoes on the Champs-Élysées. That's what I hear. But what
there
do
was
I
an
know?
Interesting story a few years ago. Somebody wrote where it was like it was the beginning of the end of that man's career. Like it really damaged him in some pretty significant ways, like reputation, right. But also mentally. I talked to Vince about it because I live in Memphis, and Vince, of course, has been with the Grizzlies for the past few years. And he looks back on that sort of bittersweet because obviously it's an unbelievable highlight, but it did sort of put an end to that guy's career, which is obviously unfortunate.
Talking college basketball, well, actually the NBA, just shouldn't say college basketball, the NBA draft coming up on Thursday with Gary Parrish of CBS. All right, the deal goes down. Who do the Celtics take at three? Jackson, is that who they're taking?
I think it's Josh Jackson, but I don't think it's clear-cut. I mean, it could be Jason Tatum. It could also be, if Lonzo Ball slips, Lonzo Ball. But I do think it's probably going to be Josh Jackson. He seems to fit what Danny Ainge wants. And that's why the trade, when it came down over the weekend, wasn't a huge surprise because there was a report middle of last week that suggested Ainge had his eyes on Josh Jackson. Just didn't think you needed to take him at number one, that you could get him a little lower in the draft. So the trade happens, and that all lines up. And so when you talk about Josh Jackson, 6'8", super athlete who can play both ends of the court, great two-way player, could be the type of thing that maybe not as a 19-year-old rookie, but perhaps as a 21-year-old third-year player, can be the guy you throw on LeBron James in the fourth quarter and really causes him some problems if you're going to be competing against LeBron and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals for the next few years. He's a better fit than a point guard, if you believe in Isaiah Thomas, because there's question marks about whether Isaiah could play with Markelle Fultz, could play with Lonzo Ball. You bring in Josh Jackson, it just adds another wing. It doesn't mess with your backcourt at all. So, yeah, I think he ends up in Boston.
So it sounds like Andre Iguodala, basically, which is not bad. I mean, that's the description. But, that's the part of it where I wonder if this is worth it for Boston. And I get it. They have a wild card in next year's pick from the Lakers, potentially, which could be great. If you're talking about a franchise player, okay, even if he's not the perfect fit for your team, and you're taking guys strictly on look, we think we're close, we're trying to get the best fit, that may be okay short-term, but long-term, you're going to regret passing on the franchise player.
I agree completely, and that's why when I said earlier I love it from Philadelphia's perspective, this trade, I'm less certain I like it from Boston, because this only works out, forget fit, forget everything else, it only works if Markelle Fultz isn't great.
Yeah.
But if he is great,
if he's great, it doesn't work. I agree, yeah.
Yeah, because if he's great, you blew it. Now, because like look at the NBA Finals. You can talk about the need for great primary ball handlers, guys who can make shots from the perimeter, stretch four, small ball five, whatever. The one thing that Golden State and Cleveland have in common awesome players. They have the most awesome players of anybody in the NBA. And so I never, at the top of a draft, never would look at a positional need. Well, we've got a point guard, so we don't need another one. We got a point guard, we don't want to take another guy who plays similarly. Doesn't matter. That's how you end up passing on Michael Jordan, because you've already got Clyde Drexler. Why would you take another shooting guard? So I'm with you on this one. I don't think it's ridiculous from Boston's perspective, because if Danny Ainge really doesn't love Markelle Fultz, then this is what he ought to do. But if Markelle Fultz becomes a star, make no mistake, Boston blew this.
Well, I'll give you something ridiculous, that the Knicks would actually take a guy who fits the triangle. Think about that insanity for a second. You want something stupid?
No.
There you go.
No. In the top 10, always draft the guy you think has the best chance to be special, because that's the key to being special in the NBA as
Absolutely.
A franchise.
Hey, not so,
you've
got to
have great
Believe
players.
Me, I agree with you. I'm just giving you the Phil Jackson nonsense. That's all.
No, that's nonsense, too. I agree with you. You got to go get the best available player.
Of course.
And then you figure it out. I think talent, call me crazy, maybe I'm nuts, talent is more important than system.
Yeah. You
that's
think?
That's just me.
Yeah, slightly.
Well, what do I
No, you could, I mean, that's the thing about the triangle. Like, you know, to the extent that it gets credit, it gets credit for Michael and Scotty and those guys. But, like, you could have run whatever you were running. If you had Michael Jordan and Scotty Pippen, you'd probably win a lot of games.
Of course.
My basketball team, instead of picking number one overall, is picking 22 and 27. Do you see them going with the high, you know, kind of a swinging for the fences, if you will, because they really need to find, you know, star players, and they're very tough to find late first round. What are you thinking about what the Nets' approach is with their two late first round picks?
I think I've got Caleb Swanigan going maybe to the second pick, you know, the one in the latter 20s. And, you know, that's a guy who, you know, if you look back on Draymond Green, and I'm not comparing Caleb and Draymond in terms of the way they play. They're very different. Caleb's not the type of defensive presence that Draymond can be. But the thing they have in common is they were incredibly productive, you know, college basketball players in a major conference, specifically the Big Ten. And if you look back on Draymond Green, even though he was drafted in the 30s, you go, wow, why did everybody miss on him? It's because they said, well, is he tall enough for this? Is he quick enough for that? Like, just, hey, sometimes guys who are super productive basketball players, they just figure it out. And Caleb Swanigan, he put up numbers that we hadn't seen in high major college basketball since Tim Duncan was at Wake Forest. And I just refuse to believe that there's not a place in the NBA for a guy like that. And I do think he's going to definitely be available in the 20s, probably in the late 20s. And if I were Brooklyn or anybody else, I'd be interested in picking him up, because I think we're going to look up in 3 years wherever he was picked. Let's say he's picked 29th. There will not be 28 players from this draft who turn out better than him. I'm really high on Caleb
Interesting. Mm. Well, good stuff. Should be interesting Thursday night. We appreciate you coming on.
Gary, we appreciate it, man. Thank
you. Right. You got it. Take care, guys. I'll see
be good.
You.
Gary Parrish, CBS, talking about the draft. The one thing I think
Swanigan is a guy from Purdue.
Four-year
starter too, right?
Yeah, he's been there for a couple of years.
I like that.
When
I like
hear
that.
We're drafting for our need because we're close, I think of the Pistons in 2003.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Maybe the greatest
not
draft
in basketball.
What was that?
Certainly not in basketball. You take the best guy there.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron James went number one. The Pistons were picking number two.
They took Darko.
Right. They passed on Carmelo Anthony. How's he going to fit this team? Chris Bosh, right. Dwayne Wade, and they went with what they thought would fit best. And that's why, look, the Celtic thing could turn out to be brilliant. I don't know, because of the fact that getting another pick next year, it could turn into the number three. They could literally pick one and two in the draft next year. It's possible. It's just that if you believe Markelle Fultz is a game-changing star player, I wouldn't mess around. That's just the way I, because if that guy becomes Damian Lillard, you're going to regret it. I mean, think about it. Damian Lillard versus Andre Iguodala. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
So that's the risk that Danny's taken, but we'll see. It seems to be that touches gold.
It works out for the Celtics. The only time it really didn't work out, unfortunately, because of the tragedy with Len Bias.
Yeah.
You know, but, if not for that, God knows, they wind up, you know, two years after they win a championship, they were in the finals and they wind up with this guy.
Totally agree.
So you never know.
I think with history, it's two different ways. If you look at the franchise's history, you're right. If you look at the idea history, then I think they're wrong.
Right.
So we'll see how it turns out.
We'll see how it plays.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.